You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
In the know, nonstop Vikings talk. It's Purple Daily on Score North and ScoreNorth.com. Purple Daily, presented by Surly Brewing Company.
Yes, and also presented by TCL, one of the world's best-selling consumer electronics brands. They got a new lineup of award-winning TVs, delivering the most entertainment with stunning resolution, all at an affordable cost. Enjoy more of the things you love with TCL. Good evening, Phil Mackey, Judd Zolgad, our executive producer, Declan Goff, and our friend, one of the most passionate Vikings fans we know, Realistic Randy. Find his YouTube channel where you can find his content. Go subscribe. Gentlemen, we've had a couple days, at least the three of us, on the core episodes of Purple Daily to digest just a really buzzkill loss by the Vikings. So let's turn it over to start these Tuesday night Purple After Dark shows like we usually do to our friend Realistic Randy. What is on your mind tonight, sir? Welcome.
Well, I need to do a quick correction. You said one of the more passionate Vikings fans out there. This season, not so much. It's dead. I'm dead inside.
One of the most stoic and emotionless and feelingsless Vikings fans. One of the most numb Vikings fans we know. Realistic Randy.
I'm definitely practicing stoicism for this season. So a couple of things. Kirk Cousins was awful. He was pathetic. He had a bad game. The amount of mental farts and gaffes that he had, clearly the game was just too big for him on Sunday against the Niners. He had a bad game at the same time, and I feel like I'm neither pro Kirk Cousins or anti Kirk Cousins. When he deserves to get ripped, I will do it. When he deserves praise, I will do it as well. He had a bad game. At the same time, and take Kirk Cousins' name out of it, a quarterback is allowed to have a bad game, considering if that same quarterback has been carrying this team all season long. The Vikings are now 5-6. Okay, so now they're scratching and clawing their way, as well as relying on other teams to do the dirty work for the Vikings. Okay, Seattle, we just beat Washington. Okay, this team beat this team so we can maybe get to the seventh seed. The top three culprits for this season so far, in no particular order: coaching, defense, kicking. Kicking, field goal percentage, they're about middle of the league. But there was that game against Arizona. The field goal, you should have made it. You were indoors. You missed it. That's a game lost. But also, they're 25th. The Minnesota Vikings are 25th in the league in extra point percentage. That's unacceptable. Defense, 30th. 30th ranked defense in the league. 30th against the run. So I think we started Purple After Dark, I want to say 2 weeks before the season started. In one of those streams, I said, the Vikings, oh my God, they are going to have, I either said top three or number one against the run. So Declan Goff, here's what I need you to do. I need you to go back to that specific stream, format it on a DVD or Blu-ray disc, send it to me so I can burn it to the ground. Okay? Because here's the bottom line. In 8 years, we've had different quarterbacks and different offensive line rotations and different defenses and different offensive coordinators, but we've consistently gotten the same results. After every poor performance, we get the same press conference. Well, we didn't win, but I'm proud of this team because they fought hard. Well, okay. So to that, I will say this. From this point on, I declare, because I've seen articles on coaches like Pete Carroll, maybe he's on the hot seat. Matt Nagy, he's on the hot seat. It's over with. No coach in the league shall ever be on the hot seat ever again. No coach shall ever get fired again. Because here's what I've learned, gentlemen. I'm tired of being a negative Nancy and all that stuff. I've seen the light. When a coach or when a team performs poorly, it's not a reflection of the coach. No, the coach is just going through some adversity. In fact, why stop there? Let's stretch it nationwide. Regardless, everyone out there that's watching this, Declan, Phil, Judd, you're watching this right now. You're on the show. Here I am too. Everybody out there, whatever job you have, I declare that you have unlimited job security. In fact, the moment you get hired, where you turn in your employment paperwork to HR, you're good forever. No one shall ever get fired again. When it comes to the 2021 Vikings, I cannot tell you enough that I really could not give the whole circumference of a rat's ass to whatever happens to this team. This team is a joke. They are an embarrassment to themselves. They're 5-6. We fought hard. Think of all the resources. Judd, we talked about this before the season started. Think about all the resources that this team was given on defense against the run. Oh, they're going to be top three. They're bottom three. It's ridiculous. So they'll beat the Lions and everything's back. And oh my God, all we just need is a couple of chips to fall our way. Every single year, it doesn't matter. This is the Vikings until changes are made.
I love it. I love it. And I'm going to bring to you the one true positive, though. So
wow, how much Surly
Sunday?
Oh boy.
Sunday,
wow,
did,
how much,
Sunday
how much Surly provided, have you been drinking
Sunday
tonight?
Did provide.
I'm going to tell you something. I'm furious.
During the hockey game, I have wild fever. Here's a positive. Because I think you summed up the feeling perfectly. The positive was Sunday provided a great slap in the face of the reality of the situation, which is it's done. Like that's how I felt before the Chargers game. And then, you know, you got the Chargers game. It's like, woo boy. But I still feel Zimmer is done. But I was like, woo boy, this is interesting. This is interesting. And then the Packers, you beat the Packers. It's like, okay, intriguing. You know, I wonder if some things can be saved here. The reality is it can't. And I think that Sunday provided just a great tutorial in why it can't, because here's the one place. I don't care about the kicking personally at this point. I just don't. The defense, entire defensive line's out. Okay. So like we can be like, well, the defense, I mean, yeah. What did you expect? You know where they fell woefully short in San Francisco? Coaching, like you said. Coaching. The coaching was terrible. The coaching was, we knew what the price of poker going into that game was. We talked about it last week. We talked about it several times. We probably talked about it on Purple After Dark, Randy, with you. It was going to need to be an offensive display, and you were going to need to take it to San Francisco offensively. And by the way, you had your chances. This team is not well coached enough to win. And you know what? Guys get hurt. Hold on a second here. I'm getting breaking news. Oh, guys get hurt all the time in this league.
No, but it's different with the Vikings. No,
teams are depleted. That's the breaking news.
Dude, the Packers, like, listen, the Vikings played their asses off against the Packers. The Packers were down so many key players and had a lead in that game late, right? Like, injuries, sometimes it does feel like we all watch the Vikings in such a vacuum where it's like, well, I mean, what are they supposed to do? You know, Danielle Hunter's out. It's like, well, like, almost every team in the NFL has a bunch of key guys. Some teams lost key guys before the season started, right? So you can't use that as a crutch for all of the bad things that happen. You're not going to have perfect coaching. You're not going to have perfect health. You're not going to have perfect offensive line play. On the offensive front, I brought this up as a nerd stat of the week with Alex Spoon and you guys today. And Randy, I'll bring it up with you here too. So yes, the defense is the biggest reason. Like, getting gashed for 200 yards rushing is the biggest, most problematic thing in that game. But that's just, like, one game, and you had no starting defensive linemen. And so I don't know. Like, I'm not super worked up about the defense the last couple of games because, like, they're super banged up. It's not ideal. I'm looking more at the macro, like what the 8 years of Zimmer, right? The last 4 years of Zimmer Cousins. What are the big things and themes that keep popping up? I'll give you one here. Not maximizing offensive potential. The Vikings in 8 years under Mike Zimmer have scored 40 points in a game 4 times. The Cowboys and the Bills have scored 40 points 6 combined times this season already, and we're not even to December yet. And you look around, and it's not like the Vikings are running out Devin Aromashadu and Bobby Wade at wide receiver anymore. You've had, over that time, you've had Diggs, Thielen in their primes, Justin Jefferson in his prime, right? Kyle Rudolph in his prime, Irv Smith. You've had Dalvin Cook. In fact, you run 3 running backs deep right now. Now that Wongwu has stepped up and shown that he's one of the best kick returners in the NFL. So why aren't they maximizing? Who's the offensive guru? It's not Zimmer. It's not Clint Kubiak. Like that actually bothers me more. They could have scored 40 points in that game against the Niners. They sputtered in the second half. I think they left points on the board in the first half. So I know people are focused on the defense, but I look at that, I'm like, 8 years? 8 years. And because of your style of coaching and your lack of offensive innovation in terms of scheming and just mindset, you've only scored 40 points in a game once every other year on average over the last decade. That's incredible to me.
And yet, he's gotten a free pass this entire time. I don't want to hear anything about hot seat or, oh, this could be his last year until it actually happens. The fact that he's gotten away with this long. You mentioned it. Think about all the players that they've had. Diggs, Thielen, Kyle Rudolph, say what you want about him. Dalvin Cook, I mean, well, to the running backs, oh, he'll feed them, no problem. I have no problem doing that. But this team, they could have always been for at least, I would say, 4 or 5 of those years. They could have been the 2018 Rams. They could have been the Chiefs from, not this year, but the last 2 or 3 years before that. It's just amazing that however he's duped the Wolf brothers into, you know what, it's not working out, but next year it's going to all work out. I don't know how it's been done. So when I see names like, okay, Doug Peterson, he's been fired, or Pete Carroll, he's on the hot seat. I find it laughable because how is it that this dude, Mike Zimmer, has been able to get away with it for so long? And yeah.
Part of it is like, so Pete Carroll's having the train wreck season, right? Like Pete Carroll's having the, what are they, like 3-8 or 4-8 or whatever they are. Like they're having
the 2 Super Bowl appearances though.
Yeah.
Super Bowl win.
But I think teams and franchises and ownership groups, they react to the train wreck season. And, okay, the Seahawks are train wrecking. Now it's time to fire somebody. Ownership groups and the Vikings are the George Washington on the Mount Rushmore of this group of owners. It's really hard to pull the trigger on some sort of major change when you're still flirting with the playoffs. And I I want Super Bowl contendership. I want 13 wins instead of 8 wins on a more regular basis. But they're looking at this franchise, the ownership group, saying, well, at least we're not the Lions. At least we're not the Jets. Like, at least we're competitive for 4 months every year. That's what's happening. And yes, fans are doing the same thing.
You're right, but I think at the same time, true leadership, they will make a move. So you remember, whether it's popular or not, Marty Schottenheimer with the Chargers way back when with San Diego. I want to say they either went 13-3 or 14-2.
Yes.
And they went 1-done in the playoffs, and he got fired. Yes, I said, what are you doing? They fired him. Now, granted, the Chargers, okay, now they're finally maybe making some noise with Justin Herbert a couple of quarterbacks later. But Andy Reid with Philadelphia. I mean, what do you have? 4 NFC championship appearances, 1 Super Bowl appearance, and they let him go. So there have been times where if you see clearly, yeah, we're not the Lions and we're not a total dumpster fire compared to the rest of the league. But if clearly nothing is going to change, especially after 8 years and you're still sitting there and looking stupid, then that's on you. So here's another thing. Pat Shurmur, Kevin Stefanski, whenever we do get any sort of, okay, this offense can be pretty good, this is finally what we've been waiting for, they go. They're gone. And we're stuck with this old fart of a head coach that says, okay, no, I've got it under control. It's ridiculous. I understand what you're saying, Phil. It's not a train wreck. But there have been enough examples where teams say, I'm tired of being mediocre. I want to get to the next level. And if we have to suffer for 3 or 4 years to get to that point, then so be it.
The problem is not Mike and not the Wilfs, though. It's the buffer that Rick Spielman serves as in between this. Because Rick would be the one to go to the Wilfs and say, we got to make a change. And it's almost like Rick is afraid to do that. And I think he's afraid to do that. And this is where the real problems start. Because Rick knows that if Rick starts to get questioned, right, there's some questions there. Like Mike could come back and say, Ziggy, Mark, it's not me who's not finding a quarterback. It's Rick. And so that's where I think if you are the Wilfs, you're probably at a point, and I don't know if they'll do this. I think Mike's probably gone, but I don't know about Rick. But I think if you're the Wilfs, the smart play here is you got a clean house there. Like you've got to get – because the Wilfs are smart enough to know they don't know a lot. But at some point in time, too, it's your responsibility as the steward of this franchise to take complete control and say, we tried this. But, I mean, if you look at, like, how long can we continue saying of Rick Spielman, well, yeah, but you don't understand how many draft picks he gets and all the fifth rounders that he gets.
Quality.
That's always the fallback, though, right? Like, he found Stephon Diggs in the fifth rounder. Is the new guy going to do that? And so it almost becomes, again, of being afraid. The problem, though, is what are the most important tenets of the National Football League right now? Offense. Offensive coach, quarterback, right? And the problem is the Vikings don't have a handle on any of that. And to Phil's point, and he's right at this point in time, the offense improved against the Chargers and Packers for sure. We don't even know who is doing that. Like, it's this shadow guy in the background, like, hey, do this instead. Like, we don't even know who's doing what now. We don't know who the cooks in the kitchen are. And I think that's where the Wilfs, as the people that own and run and are responsible for this franchise, are really at a crossroads now where they need to step in and just say, we tried. Everybody did their best. This whole thing, GM and coach, needs to go in a different direction. We will choose the GM. He will choose the coach.
I think that's how it should go, because if you do get rid of, let's say, just Mike Zimmer and say, okay, Rick, you choose the next head coach, at what point do you say you've never been able to put together a decent offensive line for an entire season? Right. The quarterback situation, Kirk Cousins, I think that's the one that's up in the air. It kind of divides fans. But after that, there's nothing there. I don't trust you. I don't trust that you won't trade back 17 times for 70 seventh round draft picks. It just needs to go. Rob Brzezinski is the only guy that I would keep around after you clean house. Mm-hmm. But you have to start over, because if you're too scared to make a move and say, okay, we're doing fine just how we are, that is a loser's mentality, and you're never going to get anywhere.
You know, the Vikings might have a loser's mentality, but the folks at Surly have a winner's mentality, Judd Zolgad. Tell them.
They do indeed, and that's why the greatest IPA around is – my friends from Surly Brewing. The Surly Furious IPA is fantastic. And you know what? If you're a Vikings fan, win or lose, more so lose at times, Surly Furious takes the edge off, because they're winners. They are people who know what they're doing. They are your first round draft pick. If you're looking for a good quarterback, Rick Spielman, I got one right here in my hand. Surly Furious IPA. As the weekend approaches, you want to go to your local liquor store, pick some up, and enjoy it. Especially, you know, Vikings Detroit might be painful. Surly Furious will take the edge off that.
You know, let's talk about that game for a second here, boys, because the Lions, who haven't won a game all year, came this close at US Bank Stadium to beating the Vikings, and it was my guy, Kirk Cousins, Mr. Game-Winning Drive, with about 35 seconds left, who brought the Vikings down into field goal range, and they kicked the game winner, and they avoid that embarrassment. Now they're playing at Detroit. Detroit has had, what, 3 extra days to prep for this game, coming off like their 5th close shave loss, another game-winning field goal loss. I mean, I want to say they've lost on like four or five game-winning, buzzer-beating field goals, including a 66-yarder by Justin Tucker.
Baltimore, yeah.
They're fighting. They have not quit at all. In fact, quite the opposite, playing for Dan Campbell. I don't just chalk this up as an immediate, easy victory, like a get-right game. They're going to have to go in. I have a feeling they're going to have to go in and legitimately fight for this thing. And it worries me a little bit that the old Lions are due for one here. I don't know. What are your guys' thoughts on this one?
Well, DeAndre Swift likely out. I don't know if he's been officially ruled out, but I'm assuming he's going to be gone. So you have Jamal Williams at running back. He's not bad. Jared Goff at quarterback. They haven't won a game at all this season. So this is really shaping up to really, if any team is going to give up the first win to the Lions this 2021 season, it's going to be the Vikings. I think they will win, but it's going to be one of those where you fight tooth and nail, and maybe you have to win 19-17 like you did earlier this season. So I think they're going to win. I'm not going to say it's going to be a cakewalk, but at the same time, I just don't care. I cannot emphasize this enough. I do not care because they're going to beat the Lions. And, oh, my God, now let's look at seeding again. Okay, this team lost, so we have a chance because now we're in the 8th spot, so we can jump and hover over this. But it's like, yo, you barely beat the Lions. You barely beat the Lions the first time. I just do not care. I cannot emphasize that enough.
So what gets you right now the most excited when it comes to the Vikings? Like, the games on the schedule, option one, mock drafts, option two, lists of head coaching candidates, option three, or lists of, like, crazy trades involving quarterbacks and Kirk Cousins, option four?
I'm going to go with option five, Black Monday.
Yeah, firing. I knew this was coming.
Straight up the firing.
Nothing. Yeah. I don't care about any more mock drafts. Because, and here's what, and I'm guilty of this. Every offseason, I look like an idiot, and I do this where I look at every draft pick and every free agent signing, and I say, that's great. Oh, this is going to work out. Top-notch, A-plus move for the Vikings. Man, oh, they are going to make some noise this year. And I get that you can make the argument that every fan base, that they do that, but I especially do it. I don't care about any more mock drafts. I don't care about what the next quarterback is because I promise you this. Patrick Mahomes that we all know today, not that great this year, but that we know that he's capable of being, what, two Super Bowl appearances. Patrick Mahomes would not be this Patrick Mahomes with this team and this head coach. He would restrict him like he does with everybody else. I don't care about mock drafts. I don't care who the next quarterback is going to be. I don't care about the next free agency signings. None of this matters. 8 years in, the same song and dance. We are seeing the same results. Despite everything else being different, the one constant has been the head coach. I don't care until he's gone. Otherwise, you're wasting everybody's time.
So they're going to beat Detroit because I am an expert on unlikable teams. And the Vikings are an unlikable team. And what unlikable teams do is they lose the game against San Fran because that's a prove-it game. Like, that would have been an impressive win. Sure. Yeah. And then they come back, and Zim will be like, people don't believe anymore, gentlemen. What should we do about it? Let's go beat Detroit. Let's show.
By the way, before Judd finishes out his thought here, Judd is 9-2 picking games this season before the season started.
Yep.
But like Judd laying out his schedule before the season started is 9-2 so far through the first 11 games. Mm-hmm. So I'm listening here.
But you think about it. But I mean, the Wild did this for years. They rebounded and would win when their backs were against the wall. Here is my edict to the Wilfs, and I beg them to listen closely. They should have a sign up in their offices that say, just good enough isn't good enough. Because the Vikings will do this. They will be just good enough to be like, man, we showed some life there, boys. Should we make some change? I mean, I don't know about these changes. Like, they could be dangerous. But you know what? They'll always end here. Like, there's no next turn. There's no next curve of, oh, man, they've turned the corner now. They're done. This is done. So what they do on Sunday, I don't care. They could win three consecutive games now. I don't care. There's nothing they can do that's going to put them in a championship pedigree now. They will fool you, though. So don't be fooled.
I think they beat the Lions. I think that I shouldn't say it's a given because I want the egg on my face when
they're,
it doesn't happen.
Dude, they're 7-point road favorites.
I think they will, but I think that's right.
That's aggressive. 7-point road favorites against a team that almost beat them at home.
Did you watch that Bears game, though, you guys? Oh, yeah. My God.
Yeah, the Lions showed fight. Yeah. That's what I saw. I saw a lot of scrappy, kneecap slashing players that were fighting for their NFL lives.
Was it 07 or 08 when they went 0-16, right? Like when they went winless, and both those games against the Vikings, they had chances to win their first game of the season were against those Vikings.
Rod Marinelli, right?
Yes. So I think they get this win. They should win handedly. I'll have a write that down on it tomorrow. It's a tease. It's a tease. I'm waiting. I did say in the first one they're gonna win by less than 7 points, and I got absolutely destroyed on Twitter for that. That one turned out correct.
I think they win handedly.
I'm so negative, Dex. Yeah, how dare I? But yes, I think they win. I think they win handedly.
Dude, a 7-point road favorite. And by the way, it looks like the consensus according to ESPN.com is 80% of people are picking the Vikings to cover the 7 points on the road here.
Oh, boy.
That's way too much public sentiment toward the Vikings here.
But don't you guys think the key is to not get fooled now? I don't believe in anything that we see because it's always going to be this way, and. They're not going to just tank now. Like, that's not them. They're too good. And Kirk and Zim are rebound masters. People don't believe. Now I'll show them. The problem is they can't show you when we need you to.
Yeah, they love to hang the banners after you know, week 9, a big win against the Broncos
They both love to be right. And in their minds, they're right if they come back and beat the Lions. You didn't believe in me after the San Francisco game. I'm just saying, I think the most important thing to get to where Randy wants to go and get guys fired is to not believe in anything that we see from here on out, because it's not going to produce a sustainable result that's going to be desirable.
And I'll say this too, Randy. If you are the Lions or if you are the Jets or one of these, like the Texans, just one of these train wreck franchises, even the Jaguars, I know they've got Trevor Lawrence now, but Mike Zimmer and Kirk Cousins as a pairing are your Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. Like, they will get you to 8 wins. They'll get you from 2 wins to 8 wins, and you can no longer be a laughingstock. But this is a franchise that's gone 61 years without a Super Bowl championship. The bar should be higher than 8 wins, 8 wins, 9 wins, 10 wins. And unfortunately, that's where their glass ceiling is. And people are going to make all these excuses up, you know, about, well, but Kirk's never had this and Kirk's never had that. It's like, Kirk's been in the league for 10 years. He's been a starter for 7 years. He is one game under 500, the teams that he plays on. He is what he is. Like, he's not terrible. He'll flash for a month and a half and put up ridiculous numbers, and he'll finish with 4,000 plus yards. But whether it's leadership or just lack of mobility or lack of being able to beat the best teams on the brightest stages, like, he kind of is what he is. He's not a train wreck, just like Mike Zimmer. Mike Zimmer will put together a defensive game plan to fluster Aaron Rodgers, and then the next week he will revert back to certain things and habits. You're not going to finish with 2 wins with these guys, but you're also not going to win 12 or 13 and win 4 games in January and February against the best teams in the NFL. And that's the comfortable place that you find yourself in if you are a fan or if you run a franchise.
I would like to advertise myself to the Minnesota Vikings. Sign me up. What's the vet minimum? Like $500,000?
Yeah.
Sign me up to play any position for the team. Because if nothing else, I fight hard. And that's all that matters for this head coach.
Give your all.
Yeah. Phil, you talked about the bar should be 10-plus wins, but it's not. And I'm going to pair that with, Judd, what you said not that long ago as far as, okay, the Vikings, they're not going to compete for a championship. They're not a championship-contending team. I will disagree with you on that because they are championship contenders in the fact that whatever – the low bar is the lowest bar for the NFL. So before it was, okay, the sixth seed and just make it in as a wild card spot. Now it's seven. Whatever that low bar is, the Vikings will make a championship year to reach that benchmark. And that is it. We made the playoffs. We did just enough. Okay, next year is going to be different. Okay, it didn't go as good as last year, this year, but that's okay. We'll build back up to what we were the year before. It's how can you keep seeing this? The Wolves, you're right there. You have the office. You have front row seats. How do you sit? These dudes are billionaires. They have to be smart people. I'm not going to insult their intelligence, but my God, I am sitting here doing this. I'm doing this from home. I do my YouTube channel from home. I don't get paid anything from the team. These are professionals that get paid millions upon millions of dollars to know more than me. How do they keep seeing this and saying, yeah, this is fine. We're going to roll the dice and do it all over again, baby. And then when you get your teeth kicked in against a team like San Francisco, or when it really counts the most, you sit there, oh, man, that's, I couldn't see that coming. Really? I've been saying it for 3 years. How do you not see this? This, I don't care. I've never been that fan. I used to always be the fan that gets riled up and, yeah, Vikings, go Vikings, let's win this game. I used to do that all the time. This is the first time, I think, in my life, I've been following this team for 21 years, that I can sit and watch a game. I was telling you guys before we started streaming, my mom was here for Thanksgiving weekend. We watched the game against the Niners, and she was getting pissed off. She was, interception, what is happening? How did they give up a touchdown to end the first half? And I said, Mom, it's all right. It's okay. This is who they are. This is the first time that I can remember that I can sit and watch this team and not give a damn. This is the Minnesota Vikings. Sign me up for $500,000 to fight hard. I'll be right there.
Yeah. Corner, safety. I think the problem, too, is that the Wolves are hardcore football fans, and they love the sport. And Spielman and Zimmer regale them with football stories and tell them what's going on internally. And Bill Parcells, who is the Wolves hero, calls Zimmer all the time. And so he knows Bill Parcells. And I think to illustrate the issue here, it's very important because the Wolves, like a ton of these guys as businessmen, are extremely successful, right? Think about this for a second. If you ran a business, so it's not sports though, your business, which you know, nets you millions of dollars, and a key employee said, I am really unhappy. And that key employee might be petulant, but it's a key employee. And that person said, I got problems here. Only in sports would you allow that employee's boss to trade him to Buffalo as quickly as possible. If Stefon Diggs was an employee for any other Wolf bit business who was bringing in revenue, okay? And he was like, I know I'm sort of petulant about this, but here are the problems, X, Y, and Z. The Wolves would do an audit of the company and be like, okay, you might be right, you might be wrong, but we are sure as hell going to find out, right? Stefon Diggs melted down a few times, and Spielman finally said, I'm trading him. And nobody said, hold on a second here. This is a really good offensive player. It's what at the time, 2019? This is an offensive league. This guy's a special, special employee. And we're just going to allow Rick to just trade him? Let's find out why he's not happy.
I will say, I agree with your entire process. Like, you are picking at the process, and I agree.
Yeah, not the
the result was excellent.
Yes, but wouldn't
Justin Jefferson is better than Stefon Diggs.
But we're sitting here with we're now back to the same potential powder keg of Jefferson playing with a QB who skips a 2-point conversion at his feet and overthrows him because he thinks he's Big Bird, basically. So we're like sitting with the same problem. Partially because they never found out what's the problem here. Is the problem Mike? Is the problem Rick?
Mm-hmm.
Is there a problem with Kirk? My point is not that the trade didn't, in some ways, blind luck, work out. My point is that you basically are sitting here with the same problems again because nobody said, let's look into the problem.
Yeah, and now you're sitting here, you know, for a million different reasons, there's been a new offensive coordinator every year, and now you're literally sitting here, and we brought this up before the Ravens game. We've done this exercise, you know, before the Packers game. Offense and passing offense are driving success in the NFL. Now, I have a feeling the Patriots might actually kind of revert it back. Everything's kind of cyclical, and the Patriots, without any meaningful outside receiver presence, are moving the ball. They've got a great defense, and you know they might wind up representing the AFC in the Super Bowl and maybe winning it. Who knows? But you look at the teams that make it to the Final Four the last several years. It's the best passing attacks, and you have to have a good defense as well. And the Vikings' defense isn't good enough, even if the offense clicked on all cylinders. But you look around these rooms, and you've got offensive innovators. You've got, look at in Baltimore. We talked about this before that game. You've got John Harbaugh, who has become this wonderful leader and a guy that, you know, players will run through a wall for. He deconstructed the entire offensive system from Joe Flacco to then Lamar Jackson, and they brought in Greg Roman, who constructed the Colin Kaepernick offense in San Francisco 9 years ago, right? Innovation. The Rams have been struggling lately, but Sean McVay is. I mean, Sean McVay brought the Jared Goff offensive unit to a Super Bowl, a close one at that, against the Patriots. Innovation, right? Up and down that staff. The Vikings have a head coach that doesn't give a rip about offensive innovation. Like, finally, he stepped in and started, you know, telling the staff, like, we got to throw to Jefferson more because somebody probably told him to, right? And finally, like, after 4 years, he started meeting with Kirk Cousins for the first time. He couldn't be bothered to even meet with the quarterback until year four. And the offensive coordinator is a 34-year-old son of an established coordinator who was a wide receivers coach at Kansas 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. Like, there's these other offenses are playing high-level chess, and the Vikings are stumbling in with a coordinator that's trying to figure out how to get in the flow of calling plays for the first time, right? And so it's no wonder that you're unable. Like, again, people are going to point to, but the defense gave up 200 yards. You should have scored 40 points against the Niners. You were gashing them. And then you went into a shell in the second half. You're not innovative enough. And it just, like, why don't you have any innovators on the most important side of the ball in 2021? How is that possible?
You need consistency on offense. That's going to give you the best chance of sustained success. Greg Roman, what I will say about him, what really sticks out, is that if you remember when Lamar Jackson got drafted coming out of Louisville, everyone thought, or maybe not everyone, but a large portion of folks, including myself, I said, I don't know if he's going to be an NFL caliber quarterback. Maybe he should play receiver or some special position. But the fact that Greg Roman has been able to make Lamar Jackson an offense revolved around Lamar Jackson. They run the football. They allow him to run the football, throw the football to the tight ends. Brian Daboll with Josh Allen. Josh Allen, coming out of college, he struggled with accuracy. Bill Belichick, I mean, he has a consistent offensive coordinator in Josh McDaniels. So I just, this rotation of offensive coordinators, and forget that, if this head coach had an elite defense, or at least a very good defense consistently, then we could say, all right, you know what? They're top 10 every year, top 7 every year. The offense, it could be better, so much better. But, man, you know what? With an average offense and this very good defense, they're going to win double-digit games every season. But it's not. This defense is awful. It's pathetic. All the resources they put on this defense, and you're 30th in the league in total defense? So your defense is ass. You're very conservative, except week 10. Finally, week 10, you say, okay, let's be more aggressive here. I had a meeting with Justin Jefferson, and I said, we're going to get you the ball. But it's too late. I want consistency with this team. For defense to work, everything has to go right all the time. And that's just not how it works in today's league.
Two things from a personnel construction standpoint that and it's hindsight, but it's totally fair because it's Rick and Mike's job to know what they're doing and make the right calls. And the two things that stand out to me right now are this. the Dalvin Tomlinson signing, which we question because it's a nose tackle who they're going to move to three technique, and that's not the same position. And Dalvin Tomlinson has not been a train wreck, but there is no way that he qualifies as a good marquee free agent signing. He's been okay, but you've got to invest that in, as we said at the time, I think, offensive line. Yeah. Like that.
Why
money,
is Ole Udo starting?
Right.
You?
That I mean, money yeah. has to go there. Sure, like, and what? Armin Watts can play. Like you had choices and you basically said last year, Michael Pierce, this year, Tomlinson. Okay. Bad call. The second one, very much hindsight. But again, this is where Rick comes up woefully short. And if I own the Vikings, this is a major strike. Mac Jones's play for the Patriots is another indication that Rick just doesn't see quarterbacks clearly. Because imagine this. If you had stood pat and taken Mac Jones, okay? And let's say he didn't even play. You still, if you knew what you were watching in Mac Jones, you're sitting on a guy then who you almost are certain that you're going to have a new coach for next year. And that could be your guy then for 10 years.
And he would not be this version of Mac Jones by any... Like, Mac Jones is basically 2001 Tom Brady right now. Like, there's a lot of similarities.
Mac Jones, if he had been mothballed, and he probably would have been mothballed, but my point is he would have been on your team, and you could have said, I've got the foresight here to have taken Mac Jones, and we're going to have a different offensive coach in 2022, and we at least have taken a QB who's going to give us a chance. And it's, so I really do think that we, and I think the problem is Vikings fans will say this is, well, how are they supposed to know? That's not fair. No, actually, that's very fair. It's
we
the
literally
quarterback position.
Here's a comment from Scorn on Facebook. Literally, TJ just says, not to crap on TJ. We appreciate the comment, but he says, no one thought Mac would be good. Calm down, guy.
Yeah.
It is quite literally your job as an NFL general manager to figure out who's good and who's not, right?
And that's the most, and that's the most important position to do it. Like, that's where you make your money.
Well, I'm not going to defend anything that's been happening with this franchise this season, but Kellen Mond, I mean, Chris Sims had Kellen Mond as like the fourth or fifth best quarterback above a couple. I think he had him above Justin Fields in one of his iterations, and maybe he got cold feet and moved off that on the day before the draft. But the thing about Kellen Mond is we don't really know anything about his progress at this point, but B, they've had like two or three self-scouting come to Jesus weeks already offensively with their first unit and Kirk Cousins. So, well, what work is Mike Zimmer putting in to work with Kellen Mond? Zero, right? Like he can barely be bothered to work with Kirk Cousins. Clint Kubiak, does he have time? And Andrew Janoco, the quarterback's coach, who's now, it sounds like he's taking on a bigger role in just terms of planning the offense. Like, who is molding and spending actual time with Kellen Mond?
That's the question. That's the question, because Mac Jones would obviously, Kirk Cousins would still be starting for this team. But Mac Jones, how do we trust that this team would develop him? Because for all we know, Mac Jones would get the Kellen Mond treatment, as in he would be inactive all the time. Because for whatever reason, we think Sean Mannion is the greatest thing since sliced bread. I think it would be the same situation. No, seriously, it doesn't matter who is the eye that sees the quarterback. Because here's what I have a problem with. You drafted Kellen Mond. I got excited for it. Oh my God, this could be our quarterback of the future. But now I don't trust that he's getting developed. And just like that, going into 2022, who's to say we're not looking at another quarterback, assuming this same regime is still here? Well, Kellen Mond, it's, you know what, 1 year, he's just not doing good in practice. We're going to find someone else. You can't develop a quarterback under this regime. And not even that, going beyond that, going to the defense, why can't we develop young players? Why do you have to rely on nothing but veterans to play on your defense? You can't develop anybody on this team. So your defense is bad. You can't develop a quarterback. Sean Mannion is the wave of the future. What is happening with this team? If you can't develop young players at any level, Justin Jefferson, obviously, that's a special player. But on defense and at quarterback, if you can't develop young players, what are we doing here?
Yeah, I think my guess is in the last two or three, because there was a time where Zimmer, early in his tenure, he helped develop Xavier Rhodes and he helped develop Eric Kendricks. Like, there's that first wave of young players from like 5 or 6 years ago, and Harrison Smith sort of preceded Zimmer, but Zimmer got the most out of him. But it's almost like as the seasons piled up, he started to get really impatient and then decided, sorry, Armin Watts, sorry, Cam Dantzler, I don't have time for this anymore. And I feel like my job is too much in jeopardy to have to, work with six young guys on defense. And so let's go get five veterans in free agency. That's what I think happened.
The question then is, who's doing what? Like Mike's not developing players. Rick is not able to identify the most important position in sports. That's why
some other first rounders like yeah, Garrett Bradbury is a bust.
But I mean, Vikings fans. So the defense now, the let's shoot this down is, well, yeah, but they traded back and got Darisaw, and that looks like a great pick, and it might be, and he might be a great left tackle. He's not a quarterback. He's still not a quarterback. Like, that's the thing. That's our inherent excuse making problem, which is, well, what more do you want? You demanded a left tackle. Okay, yeah, that's awesome.
Judd, I think a lot of people listening and watching are wondering, why are you talking about quarterback? I mean, just to be real, like a lot of people are like, why are you talking about quarterback? The Vikings have one of the 10 best quarterbacks in the world right now. Why would you even be talking about quarterback? Because I'm just like, there's probably thousands of people right now that are wondering that.
Because their GM can't find one. And
no, but he did. His name is Kirk Cousins.
But it hasn't worked.
What do you mean?
The problem
get Kirk better supporting cast and coaching. Yeah,
he's the best quarterback since Tom Brady.
I mean, that's where a lot of people are coming from.
Okay, then ultimately, after a year of Kirk and Mike, Rick should have picked Kirk and fired Mike and got a coach in to coddle Kirk, because Kirk needs... Kirk is, I'll say what I said again, Kirk is a mental midget. So you got to help Kirk out. And Mike is the last guy in the face of the earth. I'm a people person, damn it, to help people out. But that's the problem. But I mean, Rick's inability beyond Teddy, who we don't know, Rick's inability to find a quarterback and a young one and to get a guy here to develop said QB is a major problem. And the scariest thing with Mond is, quite frankly, at this point, I hope nobody's working with him at all.
Just alone in the corner.
I hope he's in a closet and that they can pull him out of mothballs next year and be like, let's work with him now. Because I seriously, who do you want? Like Kubiak? Hey, Kellen, I'm going to help you. I would prefer the Kellen Mond start from point zero again in training camp with an offensive staff that can tell me, okay, this kid can play or this kid can't play.
But the I like this comment from Nate here on the YouTube channel. He says, let's move Mond to guard. Maybe that's why we haven't seen Mond. He's busy gaining 140 pounds. So he can play right guard.
Same guy. I never saw him.
Who's that guy? That guy looks like a fat Kellen Mond. What?
Do you guys guard? Do you guys trust this current staff? I don't.
I trust them more than I trust the Jets staff, but that's, back now we've come full circle.
Super low bar, but at what point when you keep Cam Dantzler, Kellen Mond, Wyatt Davis, for all we know, when you keep wasting these draft picks, it gets to a point, why even have a draft? Just trade all your draft picks. I'm very serious. It's jokingly, but like I'm very serious at the same time.
The Rams have kind of done that, right? The Rams are like, I don't know, whatever. We don't need first-round picks. We don't need
them. Yeah. What is the point if you're just going to rely on veterans at the quarterback and all defense and, at this point, offensive line outside of Christian Darrisaw, why have a draft? What is the point? Because as much as I criticize Rick Spielman, and he does deserve criticism, Mike Zimmer's and his coaching staff's inability to develop young players, that makes Rick look even worse than what he does right now. What is the point? Just get better. Sign free agents every single year to fill out your entire roster. It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Boys, how we're all sort of fired up here. I think we're all a little hot under the collar with this Vikings team. Mike Zimmer's on a hot seat. When you're feeling the heat,
he's here forever.
He should be on a hot seat.
This is it, Randy. This is going to be it for him.
Yeah. When you're
I don't know about Rick. He's gone. Mike's gone.
Let me transition here. When you're feeling the heat,
my bad.
Throw on a pair of chill boys. Thank
there
you.
There we go.
That's all I wanted to
there
do.
There you go.
Oh, I realized.
You guys like go. picking.
I was silent.
Poking at my clear transition to a chill boys read here.
I'm just pissed off. So
it's all good. We all are. And chill boys are here to help calm you down and make sure that everything is comfortable down there. Chillboys.com. It's holiday season. Okay.
What are they, your therapist?
Yes. I talk to my chill boys at night.
Chill boys, long johns. I had a rough day. Let's talk.
You know, I have thought about just getting a pair of chill boys long underwear for literally everyone on my gift list this year, and just throw them in the stocking. Boom. Chillboys.com. Just like that.
I need a pair that's white. Do they have pairs that are white?
Oh my God. Are you saying, are you saying you're a whitey, you pre-chill boys? Are you a whitey tighties kind of guy?
No. Here's what I'm saying.
Strike me as a whitey tighties.
I wear my black long john chill boys with shorts, and I told Dawn basketball players wear these. So, and she's like, no, you look ridiculous. So last night I took a picture of Ant with his shorts and long pants on.
Yeah, he had the white ones on, right?
And she sent me the leggings. Back. Those are white, Judd.
I think we can pull some strings.
So
for you.
Clearly, yeah. I need to be wearing my shorts, my black shorts, and
black
the white.
Shorts,
so,
yeah.
So I'll go. Be like Ant then, and yeah. I'll be cool to roam around my house,
yeah. Right?
Uncriticized.
Michael Jackson was like the only guy I could pull off like the black shoes and white socks look. Like you can't. You can't be doing that. You can't be doing the similar kind of lifestyle.
I need help.
We'll put in a word with our friends at Chill Boys and chillboys.com. Tell them Purple Daily sent you.
It's the best Chill Boys.
Minnesota-based company. So, all right, your final thoughts here, Realistic Randy. Give it every last drop of emotion or whatever it is. It's not even emotion. It's just like stoicism, Viking stoicism out here.
No, the reason why Mike Zimmer doesn't have a hot seat is because his hot seat was wearing Chill Boys, so it's super cool. It doesn't exist anymore. It's
I'm
over.
Trying to envision Ziggy Wilf in a pair of Chill Boys long underwear. Now I can't get that out of my head.
That's possible. It's they're going to beat the Lions, and everything's going to be great, and we just have to rely on a couple of other teams to do the dirty work for the Vikings, beat this team here so we can leapfrog them. Handle your own business, okay? You're 8 years in, and you're still doing whatever you can to scratch and claw to make the final wild card spot. Are we being serious right now? But they beat the Packers, and they beat the Chargers. That's saying something. Hang it up right there.
Hey, Barstool. Hey, our guy, Big Cat at Barstool, he ranked the below 500 teams, power rankings, Vikings, the number one below 500 team. That's right. Let's get it.
You like that?
Skull.
Randy, January 10th. January 10th.
Is that Black Monday?
Oh, is that Black Monday? Yes.
We can crack a surly furious and celebrate a new era of Viking football.
The day that that happens, that they announce, I've got my phone on alert for Bleacher Report to send that notification saying, hey, Mike Zimmer out as head coach of the Minnesota Vikings. When that happens, I am going to lose it. I'm going to celebrate. It's going to be Christmas. I can't wait to let out all this joy that I've been holding back, because I don't have it right now. I'm just going through the motions and just watching this team. And whenever they have a poor performance, well, they fought hard. Well, that's all that matters. For when it comes to fighting hard and almost and mediocrity, the Minnesota Vikings are the greatest team of all time.
I'm excited for January 26th-ish, when after the 7-seed Vikings go into Lambeau Field or Arizona and win the first-round playoff game and then get beat in the second round, that Mike Zimmer signs a long-term contract extension and Clint Kubiak gets sniffs around the league as a young, hot head coaching candidate and Kirk Cousins signs a 4-year contract extension. Carry that torch forward. That's what I'm excited for. Can't even keep a straight face.
I am convinced that Mike is going to be here forever until he decides he wants to leave. He could be long gone. When his time is up, he'll still be coaching this team.
Yeah, it's not. I see a lot of people in the YouTube comment section throwing Russell Wilson's name out there. That is, we will definitely be speculating on that at some point. I don't think now is the right timing, but there is a falling out happening between Russell Wilson and the Seahawks. I think they're going to get rid of Pete Carroll and try and make things right
with
Russ.
Yeah, Pete Carroll's gone.
There's no way, unless Russ flat out demands a trade and they say yes. But boy, Russell Wilson with Justin Jefferson. The Vikings also just lack true leadership. And Kirk is a mercenary. He's not a leader. Yeah. Russell Wilson's a leader who just needs to fix his hand and get out from underneath Pete Carroll.
I don't think Russ leaves, though. I think Pete Carroll gets fired. And here's the name to watch. Would the Seahawks clean house completely and fire their GM, John Schneider, who's a former Packer assistant GM and a St. Thomas grad?
Minnesota guy, yeah.
And he's basically been Carroll's right-hand guy. If he got away from Pete, I think he's a pretty respected football guy. Yeah. And I think Pete's going to – my guess is Pete's in broadcasting next. I don't think Pete's going to continue coaching.
I'm actually all in on that.
Or he'll go back to college. I can see that.
Maybe he'll take the Notre Dame job.
Maybe. It's out there. If Pete Carroll gets fired before Mike Zimmer, all hell's going to break loose. I need to be in the press and ask him the tough questions to that head coach. Why do you consistently suck at your job?
I love it.
Let's go to Randy. Yeah.
Time for two more?
That's it.
Why do you suck? Why are you terrible? You can find Realistic Randy on his own YouTube channel if you wish. And if you're watching us right now on the Purple Daily YouTube channel, please click subscribe and click the like button. If you're just sick of the mediocrity, click the like button and help spread the word about the show. All right, dudes, another Purple After Dark in the books presented by Surly Brewing Company. Randy, Judd, Declan, I'm Phil. We'll see you guys tomorrow on Purple Daily, Daily Vikings Entertainment.
This holiday season, Peloton's got a gift for you. Get up to $200 off accessories with the purchase of a Peloton bike, Bike Plus, or Tread. And take your workout to the next level with accessories like non-slip grip dumbbells, a heart rate monitor, cycling shoes, and more. Peloton, motivation that moves you. This limited time offer ends December 25th. Visit onepeloton.com to learn more. All access membership separate. Offer ends December 25th. Cannot be combined with other offers. See additional terms at onepeloton.com.